In the name of Jesus, amen. Will you pray with me? Father in heaven, we thank you for the great gift of Jesus for us, so that the righteousness of God might be bestowed upon us. Bless us now in the preaching of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, 2 years ago today, we celebrated the... We have to do better. 2 years ago today was a pretty special day. If you look at the banner, it was the 500th anniversary of Luther in Wittenberg, putting those 95 theses, those 95 points of discussion on the church door at Wittenberg that began a lot of reforming. It began to take the gospel of Jesus Christ and pull it out of the bondage it was in to works righteousness and set the gospel free. Set it free so that we might know that we are saved by God's grace alone, through faith alone, in the scriptures alone. All of that began 500 years ago with that young monk there on the church. And as we heard 2 years ago, and as we'll hear this morning, the message is the same. It's all about Jesus and the forgiveness that he has won for us through his cross, through his death, through his glorious resurrection and promise to come again into our world. Well, now that we're 500 plus two, do you know what was happening in Luther's world? The Lutheran Reformation was over a course of quite a few years. And in 502 years ago, Luther had been writing. And by this time, he had written almost 30 tracts and books that had sold almost 600,000 copies. Everything Luther wrote, people wanted to hear, and he continued to work. By 1520, Luther had published all of these books, and he had begun his lecturing back through the Psalms a second time. And as Luther continued to be driven back into God's Word, he began to see the freedom that was in God's Word. The freedom of Jesus for you, for the forgiveness of all of your sins. This morning as we look back, we see exactly what Dr. Luther wants us to see. We see Jesus, the righteousness of God given to you through the forgiveness of sins. We're going to look at just a small section of your epistle reading for this morning. St. Paul writes this, "But now, the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. Although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." How many of you are video game players? Maybe even on your phone players? Yeah, not many will admit it, but a few. If you are playing video games of any kind, even games on your phone, you often realize that before you can get to level 42, what do you have to do? You have to complete 1 through 41 perfectly. And if you don't get it, you're thrown back to the beginning and you have to start all over again before you can get to that next level. Well, you can't jump from level 1 to level 42 without going through everything in between. And that was the concept of the righteousness of God that was being taught in Luther's day. That the concept of the righteousness of God was something that we had to work to achieve. And you had to do all of these things. You had to live your life without sin. You had to confess all your sin. You had to do works to prove that you were serious about this holiness. And after you've done all of this, then the righteousness of God might be bestowed upon you. It was looked at as something we are to work to achieve. And what Dr. Luther brought forward was the righteousness of God. It's not something that we have to work to achieve. It's a gift that God has delivered to us freely through Jesus Christ. The church, including Dr. Luther, in his very early years, even 2 years after the Reformation, was still caught in this trap of the gospel being in bondage to works righteousness. It was something to be sought after and achieved. You had to be holy. You had to do the good works. You had to do all of these things. And then the righteousness of God would be given to you. The level would be unlocked, and you would get to the next place. It was through the continued study of God's Word, Luther being thrown back in and working through the Psalms and the rest of the Scriptures a second time as he began to lecture it, where he began to see the righteousness of God, not as a level to be achieved, but the righteousness of God is a gift declared by God our Father to you through Jesus' death. Through his cross, through his resurrection, through his glorious ascension and sitting at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. What Luther did through careful study of God's Word was to free the gospel from the bondage of works righteousness. Remember, what was happening 502 years ago was still all about, and Luther began to see that. The righteousness of God is given to you. Jesus on the cross, taking all of our sin from us, as we saw in that Luther rose, that black cross in the middle, is the death of Jesus. Your sins dying on the cross with Jesus as he has taken them. And the white rose is Jesus' holiness given to you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. The holiness of God now given to you. A holy judgment where God declares that you are sinless and perfect in God the Father's sight because of Jesus for you. Because your salvation, our hope, our promise is all about when God declares something righteous, it's righteous. When God says something happens, just like he brought the entire world into existence by the speaking of his word, when he declares that you are righteous, there isn't anything that can change that. Even all of the world and the devils that try to condemn us by the things we've done and haven't done does not change the righteousness of God that he declares is yours through Jesus Christ. When our conscience plagues us and tries to judge you for your sin, the sins that you've committed and you cannot change now, the righteousness of God still shines forward and says to you, dear child of God, you are forgiven. When your conscience won't leave you alone, the righteousness of God still reigns. You are forgiven. Through God's righteousness given to us. The righteousness of God, we could say, is equal to the forgiveness of sins that comes through Christ alone. St. Paul goes on and he says, it's the righteousness of God that comes to us through faith, through this faith in believing. Now, if you want to get a bunch of Lutherans riled up, and I'll back you up a little, so if you throw something at me, I might not be able to be hit. If you want to get a bunch of Lutherans riled up, all you have to do is say your faith doesn't save you. Yeah. All of a sudden, the ears go up. And now before you call the district president, before you start bringing me up on charges of heresy, hear me out. If you were in a car accident, and you were pinned in the car, and there was no one else around, and you could reach your cell phone, and you called the 911, and the paramedics, and the EMTs came, and the firemen came, and they rescued you and got you out of the car, you might very well say, oh, my phone saved me. But did it? Did your phone actually stop the bleeding and strengthen you and get you to the hospital where you could be treated? Your phone was the piece that delivered the message so that the gift could actually come to you. Now, when we talk about our faith saving us, we have to be clear what that means. If we say the term, my faith saves me, and we just leave that hang there, we could fill a lot of things into that. My faith in the Easter Bunny saves me. My faith in Santa Claus saves me. My faith in my being a good person and working hard and coming to church every Sunday saves me. But that's not what St. Paul is writing about. Faith is a gift that God gives to us in the waters of baptism so that we might believe in Jesus. Because it's all about Jesus. Faith truly is a gift. And in the right understanding, faith does save us because it helps us clearly see the cross and the forgiveness of sins that's ours alone through Jesus. Faith is, if you will, the delivery vehicle that delivers to us the righteousness of God, which is Jesus for you. 2 years ago, when we celebrated the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, we heard this over and over again, just like this morning. It's all about Jesus. That's right. And that's not because the Reformation or Luther or Lutherans. We don't take credit for that at all. The very reason that we say it's all about Jesus is because the righteousness of God, this gift of holiness that we live in and are assured of, is only because of Jesus on the cross for you, for your sins. Do you see this whole passage that St. Paul writes about is all about Jesus? The righteousness of God is Jesus. The faith that God has given to us so that we might believe in our salvation points us to Jesus. Jesus, the one that God promised from the beginning to come into the world to give you peace and hope and forgiveness of sins, is the only way to salvation. It's all about Jesus. There's no other way to get around it. One of my sainted professors said this not too long ago. He said, the only way that your sins can hurt you is if you take them back from Jesus. You see, so often in our world, there is true freedom in Jesus, but we are trapped or lied to by the father of lies, Satan, when he plagues our conscience with something that's happened in the past. Plagues our conscience and says, that sin is too great, or you really don't deserve the forgiveness of sins. He plagues our conscience and he locks us in this bondage, and he doesn't let us see the forgiveness, the righteousness of God that's ours in Jesus. When God declares something, it is what God says it is. Our Lord has said to you, declared you holy and righteous through the blood of Christ, and that's who you are. When the evil one plagues you, when the evil one plagues your conscience and continues to make you feel bad out of something that's happened in the past that you have asked for forgiveness for, he's a liar, and he's lying to you. It doesn't matter what the evil one says. God has said to you, you're holy, you're righteous, because of Jesus. So often in our world, when we have something like that happen, we have a hard time forgiving ourselves. We know the righteousness of God. We know Jesus for the forgiveness of sins. But because of what we've done or not done, we refuse to forgive ourselves. And when that happens, we've taken our sin back from Jesus. We've decided that that sin is too big for Jesus to die for, and I'm going to carry it around some more and feel terrible about it. And that's not living in the righteousness of God. Confess your sin. Live in the freedom, the declared righteousness that God has given to you. How many ways can you say that you're forgiven? Declared righteous by God equals forgiven. Redeemed through the cross of Jesus means forgiven. Sanctified in the faith given to us in holy baptism means forgiven. Covered in the blood of Jesus because of the righteousness of God that is a gift to you means forgiven. And it's all about Amen. In the name of Jesus, Amen.